Thank you. Where are the bodies of space behind one year after releasing your president? And throughout the United States, the average answer is 95% of people back in prison after 1 year. The recidivism rate 1.5% on average, lower in some states than others, but it averages out to 95%. So Leary said, we're not going to talk about neuroses, psychosis, sociopathic personality, any of that stuff. Where are the bodies of space-time? 1 year after Leary's research, 95% of his convicts were still out on it. Outside, they had jobs, they were doing something or other. They were not back in prison. Well, this threatened the whole goddamn police state and the whole goddamn prison business, so of course they stopped the research. Meanwhile, Leary did another study, or he supervised a study by Andrew Weil, in which a bunch of theology students were given LSD on Good Friday at the church. Some of them got LSD, some of them got inactive placebo, which made the skin tingle, and so they thought they got something. And then the reports of what they experienced were compared by another group of theology students, to their definition of experience. And it turned out that more than two-thirds of the ones who got psilocybin had mystical experiences, and none of the others had mystical experiences at all, thereby proving that a chemical can induce a mystical experience. Which should not surprise anybody with scientific education, because all of our psychological, somatic, visionary, etc. experiences are mediated by the chemistry of the brain. What you're thinking and feeling at any given moment depends on what's going on, what chemicals are running through your brain. Mashed potatoes and mashed psychedelic is mashed LSD, except for if you've ever gone from an omnivorous diet to a vegetarian diet, you know that your whole world, your whole reality will change. If you've ever gone from a vegetarian diet,
I'm Negative 1.7 is a very velocity of 24 seconds, which is more except a new sound will get very abruptly and things more pursuits. The judge is going to make it fast one way or another. Most of the airspace is changing the direction. Well, Negative 1.7 is a very velocity of 24 seconds.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. It's Sunday night. Yeah. October 1st. Sleep early, or at least I've been trying to get to sleep by 11:15 lately. To get 7 hours of sleep, 7 hours and change. Last night I got 4 hours of sleep on the bus. I'm coming off a, not a killer acid trip, but definitely enough. My experience down in New York City yesterday, last night, and this morning was not what I expected, in a way. And I don't know what to think about it in retrospect. I didn't think that Laura would answer her phone, much less come to New York. And she had said she wouldn't come alone. But she did. I don't know what she thinks of me. I don't know if I mean anything to her. But she came into New York on a Saturday night to meet up with me, and she stayed up all night with me, and then I saw her off on the train, and none of that sums to any kind of a romantic interest. It does sum to friendship or affection or something. I'm in love with her. Saying that scares me and makes me feel foolish. I don't know if by some long shot it turned out that she has or has potential for or develops some kind of romantic feelings for me, if really we would be in any way a good match. The details are not promising. The chemistry is potent. I mean, it's really potent. But maybe that's just in my head. I'm planning on going down to New York City on the 27th, which is well, it's 26 days from now, it's 4 weeks, to see String Cheese Incident at the Tamarstein Ballroom, like I did in the spring. I don't know if I would end up seeing Laura there, and I don't know what's going to happen in the interval. Plenty of days to bicker enough to just call it quits. I don't know. Falling asleep, which is really funny. I should be falling asleep. I don't know what to say. Tomorrow I'm gonna drag my ass up and go to work and try to work with the best possible intentions. And I'll probably talk to Laura on the internet, as we have. She said she would talk to me on Monday. The last thing she said as she was leaving to get her train back to Long Island. So, I don't know. I just don't know. She reminds me of Kelly in many ways. Not a hippie chick per se, but I don't know. I think I'd be best over her. had kissed her. But maybe that would have been just too aggressive. Anyway, back to the grind tomorrow. Woohoo. But if I'm smart, I will be making job inquiries and finding ways to derive from the day the meaning that I need. My job doesn't provide. Alright, I'm falling asleep. I'm having images, but they're not being spoken to this machine, so I'm not gonna fight it, I'm just gonna shut this thing off. God, she's beautiful. She has the longest blonde hair and blue eyes and pretty face, nice smile. She's a little thing. But she's cute. Potent. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm gonna cut this out now, and, till soon. Wednesday, October 4th, 2000. 2:18 p.m. Leaving Harvard Business School Publishing Building and walking toward Arsenal Pizza along Arsenal Street, Watertown, Mass. Well, the thing with Laura is over. We're friends. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what it ever meant. I don't know what any of it fucking meant. Sort of like coming out of another coma. I didn't know before. I know now. Maybe I know now again. Things have gotten so messed up. Such an internet junkie. It's gotten so out of hand. It's ridiculous. I don't have anything of a real social life anymore, just internet. It's ridiculous. My job, even though it's not even really hateable anymore. I'm left alone all the time. Do the work, leave. was crazy about her was that he was crazy. Trying to come to my senses, trying to remember what it's like to do that. I don't think we're gonna hide him anymore. I don't really know. I don't really want to. I have to find a new situation. I simply have to. The funny thing about Laura is that I don't think I really ever liked her. I think that because we talk so much, I wanted it to become the thing that I want. And it was never even near to becoming like that. But I wanted it to be. I really did. But it was never even close. Never even close. Miss it, and I don't. Or later. Well, this is volume 43 of my voice journal. Sidewalks in this area finally coming together. There's been tons of work going on. Better than it was. What is it that I'm looking for? What answers? I don't even know why I have to look for them. But it's clear that I'm working out things that run deep into my own past. Things that can't be solved quickly, maybe even can't be solved at all. Maybe the best I can do is recognize patterns of behavior and sources of patterns of behavior. It occurs to me twice. recovering. I have no obligations this weekend. No traveling, no people. It's good. I think Joe's having a party. I don't really know. By with a advertisement showing four pictures of a girl. Probably the kind of girls I hang out with, 20s. And she's in her different costumes, vamping and playing. And I think to myself, is it me? Is it the kind of girls I hang out with? I don't know. Most of them are not really artistic, per se. But I like artistic. Would I like any of them? Is it a kind of girl? Or is it just some person I meet? I might have this characteristic or that one, but mostly is original. If I can't find her, then how do I look? Does she exist? See, I don't know the answers to any of this stuff. Alright, I'm back at work. More later.
36 X-Wiz Commander Q.
36
Schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Oh, there's a ringing inside my head. I still can hear it at night.
chosen. 9:26 p.m. Departing. 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 Testing. Testing. Departing. Departing. Departing Malden Center, T-Stop, Malden, Mass. Well, today was rough, but good, I think. I finally blown out of my pipes. Any thought of being involved with Laura Channing. And yet, an affection for her remains, which I think is friendship, which I recognize as being something that has happened before. So that's good. I hope things haven't gotten too fucked up. I have to remind myself, women are amazingly forgiving. If you allow them to be. So, I'm gonna go on that. And I'm gonna think that the larger picture is that there are really more important things I've been avoiding or not dealing with straight because I spent too much time with this. And I can't do that. Tonight, so far, I've written about 7.5 pages. Already my best showing of October. Early. I've got plans for this month. I don't really want to see through. Seen 3 concerts in addition to when I already saw Sector 9. Right up to Sector 9, Doc Watson, Moby, String Cheese Incident. It's a good array. It's funny how I don't go to see Writers Read or anything like that. I suppose I keep up in my own way. So I've been making lists and considering what needs to be done and all this kind of thing. And the one thing that's aching at me is this guy who I theoretically agreed to tutor. Or some mentor. Where does he fit in? Does he fit in? I don't know. I have to call him. I can't put it off. I think Barbara is definitely coming up for the Jellicoe Yield, which is November 4th. Location undetermined. But location soon to be determined. She's gonna fly into Boston. What the hell is today? It's the 4th, Wednesday, Friday's the 6th. I think I need to know by Saturday the 14th. what I'm gonna need to know. I'm planning on investing a lot in this next meeting. Dubious about having it at Rama's, frankly, especially with Barbara there, but I don't know. I want to read 36 nocturnes, only 32 of which are done. I want to read my Bagsin story, the Edgar B. Bear story. Which isn't done either. But they're both really close. I want to bring the Seneca 42, June 2000. I want to bring North of Jersey. November 4th, I'm looking at it as kind of a, well, it's a month away, and all the things that can be done between now and then if I work really hard and keep my head on straight for a while, which I think I can do if I can just stay cool for once. Insight doesn't call me back often. I'm not going to say it to them, but I think it's time for me to leave them behind. They got me one job. Well, they got me several little jobs and one long-term job, but overall I found them dissatisfactory in a lot of ways. They don't respond to fucking calls. They don't return their calls. And it's not just any one person. It's several different people there. I don't know. They just don't. It annoys the fucking piss out of me. And then they don't have anything. So I really need to move beyond them, and I need to move beyond Harvard Business School publishing, both of them. Well, this is going to require some work, and it's going to take time. Call that motherfucker, even though I don't want to. I should call him from this payphone I'm approaching, just to get it over with. I'll do that now. If they don't want to do it, I might as well do it right now. More later. Maybe not. Maybe I'll just leave this thing on. That'd be a hoot.
Hello, it's William there. Hi, William, this is Ray Soulard calling. Hi, I'm calling about your manuscript. Well, basically, I looked over the, I've got to look it over, and, what I'll say to you about it is that it needs a lot of work. So, I'm not really sure what expectations you have of me, but how you thought I might help you. I can make some, when we sit down with it, I can make some, general, format suggestions, like some general suggestions about how you have it structured, and then we can talk about, more specific things, like, the language, diction, I mean, the different little particular things. The thing is, I'm not interested in being an editor of it. What I'd like to do with you is, I'd like to, give you my impression as a reader, and also make some editor-like suggestions that for you to think about. Are you saying you can't afford this? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. Okay. Cool. All right, well, what we should do at this point is we should get together. We should make a figure out a night so we can get together. What obligations do you have during the weeknights? You said you had classes? Next Tuesday? Okay, that sounds like a good one. And you live out in Brookline? Is there some kind of coffee shop or something near where you live that we could meet at? I'd rather meet in a public place. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I'd be coming by a train. Which line is that? Which one? Which green line? Yeah, there's three green lines. Yeah, all of them do that. Oh, okay, so it's the C train. And what's the stop again? Washington Street. And where's the Starbucks in relation to the stop? Uh-huh. It's right there. Okay. All right. That's good. So, I think I could probably make it there by 7. How's that sound? Okay. That's good. That's good. Very good. That sounds good. So, that's Tuesday, which is, let's see, today's the 4th. That's a Tuesday, October 10th, 7 p.m. Starbucks. All right. That sounds good. I'll bring the manuscript. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to do two things between now and then. I'd like you to, one, print up another copy of the manuscript for yourself to bring. Good. And the other thing is read it with fresh eyes. I know you've written it and you've probably looked at it a few times, but between now and then, read it. Try to read it with sort of unfamiliar eyes, as though you picked it up in a bookstore and you were looking through it. And because I think that quite often that sometimes what happens with manuscripts is that we become so close to them that after a certain point we don't even see them anymore. So I'd suggest that you do that. Try to read it as though you were someone else. Yeah, exactly. And then I think its strengths and its weaknesses will both probably jump out at you at different points. So that's something that might be useful for you to do. So all right, sounds good. Next Tuesday, 10 o'clock, 7 p.m. Starbucks near the Washington Street stop on the sea line. Beautiful. See you then, buddy. Bye.
Alright, well, that's that. My first mentoring gig. First session. Next Tuesday. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad it's not Monday. I'd hate to start a week doing that. Actually, there's no day of the week that's good. Because every day of the week I want to do my own work. However, this is as good as any. And, whatever, you know, whatever happens, there won't be a second lesson until he pays me, so. I'm glad I didn't, submit to meeting his house initially. I just would rather not. First time off. I don't know how I feel about what I just did. I guess since we're meeting at Starbucks, I don't see any danger in it. And, well, it's money, basically. And it just kind of, like, jump-starts things. It's something I can put on my resume. This manuscript around with me and make some notes and show up looking like I actually read the thing, which by then I guess I will have. I don't like it, but I have to remember it's money. It's toward a good end. It's toward helping someone with writing. It's alright. Alright, that was good. That was good. I was fucking around on that way too long. Way, way too long. And I'm not. It's part of this October situation. I don't drink coffee. I started imagining about money, about being there with him and coffee, and it's like I don't drink coffee, so I may just get water or something. It's cool. It's completely cool. He gave him an assignment to bring a copy, which is fine, and to look at his own book with fresh eyes, as though he were someone else looking at it in a bookstore. And I think that that's good. I think that I did all right. It's weird. It's a possible avenue into something else than what I'm doing now. Or an addition, anyway. I met with him twice a month, 3 hours each. It'd be an extra $150 to fuck around with, which is good. LSD, 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 LSD. I've got to work on getting some acid. Definitely gotta work on it. So Harley's been sending me messages on a regular basis. Not actual messages, but sort of pictures and links and I don't know, whatever. Aggravating in a certain way, but I don't know, whatever. I haven't heard from Rick. Ball's in his court. I don't know if I could. About him, if he's not gonna call me, he's not gonna call me. And I'm not gonna do anything further about it. You know, it's up to him, it's up to where he's at. The truth is, I don't care all that much. Because I have no faith in truth that he's changed. Truth has no faith that he's changed, or that he'd be any easier to deal with. I got shit to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it without him. It'd be nice if he was on my side, but he's not. At least he wasn't. And I don't know if anything's changed. I've made more than enough gestures. And, you know, now it's his turn. Maybe he's ashamed, though I doubt it. Through this one before, and in the end he really didn't give in. In the end I decided it wasn't worth it to fight. I took the high road. I'm not who I was then. I'm still weak in some ways. I'm still vulnerable. I'm still imperfect, but not as weak, not as vulnerable, not as imperfect. And there's the Monte Tamarack as I'm talking about Rick. It's funny. I would love to have a meeting at Dave's house, though. That would really be great. That'd be cool. But I don't know if it'll happen. Be nice if it did. I'm trying. I'm still trying. All the time trying. He's looking for the solid ground I never seem to find. Leaning against the tree nearest the exit. The one that's near the path, anyway. Okay. Carry on. I was almost tripping there in the grass. Tripping off the grass. Whatever. Alright, no more. I'm tired. Good night.
36 X Wave Commander Q. 36 X Wave Commander Q. 36 X Wave Commander Q. 3.
Shadows, playlists, archives, and more.
7, 8, 9, 10. Voice journal of Raymond Sula Jr., volume 260. It is Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, at 10:29 a.m. Let me go see attic study for table welfare messages. I'm testing to see if this tape player comes across any clearer than it's recording with a mic. I'm using the mic from my other voice journal set recorder. This is test.
Okay, now testing without the microphone to see if there's really any difference between the built-in microphone and adding in an external microphone to the mix. The answer is I do not think so. So, that said, I will stay with what I have. And since mostly this is recording and speaking, and I tend to speak fairly close to the microphone, and it tends to come out reasonably well, I'll just stick with the same process, but I did want to experiment and know. So, that all said, the last volume, I should note, concluded with an undated recorded passage. That was from Friday, April 1st, probably about 9:15 a.m., and it was on location. It was the BioBuilder workshop I was at, my work, out at the Innovation and Design Building, which is on Dry Dock Avenue in the Seaport District of Boston, Massachusetts. I've been there at that workshop 2 days now, and I have 3 more to go. And I simply recorded a passage of the teacher talking. I'll try to get her name mentioned at some point. I just thought it would be interesting to capture a little bit of that heavy science stuff. It's an introduction to synthetic biology.
with lecture and lab work. It's done very professionally. The teacher is, she's a scientist and a published author. The book for the course is co-written by her, and she's been teaching for many years. I think she did some of her work at MIT, so she's got every last credential I think one would need to teach such a class. She's also got the teacherly qualities of being funny and enthusiastic, and she handles the classroom very well, classroom discussion. She keeps the lecture moving, but there's no penalty for raising a question. In fact, I think that she enjoys those just as much as the lecturing and all that. The lab work is nice because she doesn't assume that everybody in the class has done lab work before, so she's taken the time to teach in detail the rudiments of working with pipettes, wearing lab coats, and working with various instruments, and everything that someone should learn right from the beginning walking into a laboratory in a good way. My coworkers are in the class, and I know at least some of them, so that's made them more friendly situation than if they were all strangers, which would be fine too, but it's nice to see some friendly faces, especially since it's only been these past several days going in to the workplace that I've been able to be in person with people with whom I've very much entirely been on Zoom video calls and Slack chats and emails and whatnot. Sitting next to them, talking to them, it's given my workplace a greater reality in my mind, which is nice because they hired me full-time 5 weeks ago, they've noted it in one of the lines of this series, and that was a really big deal, and I think it was a really big deal for them too. I think it was a big deal on both sides, and I think that it's been going really well. It was kind of a long courtship. I was with the company on contract for I think 15 months, so my qualities and what I brought to the table were fairly well known. What I was known, and what I was doing was known. My strengths, my capacities, my limitations, all long established. But you know, being in this class, combined with the various meetings I was in that were happening in the afternoon, classes were happening in the morning, it's all just led me to want to try harder, and to just, I had a dream this morning, a sort of semi-waking dream, that I don't see why I can't learn virtually every kind of documentation that the company does, and improve it, help with it, whatever. There's just, I don't think there's limits. The limits would probably be I can't deal with documentation that is restricted to certain persons in certain roles, but other than that, the only limitations would be time, 40-hour work week, and my ability to learn new things. And I can say that my ability to learn new things has been very tested this past week, and will continue to be tested for the next few days as this workshop goes on. But I've been doing reasonably well. I even if you're going all out and learning with everything you got, you can only learn so much in such and such a time, and especially when the pace of the class is not really the pace of a pure beginner like myself. It's a pace that assumes things that I'm sort of having to pick up on the fly and understand best I can. So I'm doing well enough such that there are things that I'll retain coming out of the class. Sometimes when you're in a class or in a learning situation, you learn things that in the moment you understand, and then as you move away from that moment, you start to forget because he didn't sink that deep. Some of what I'm learning, I think, will stick. Some won't. But even some is better than the essential virtual none I've had up to this point. And so, understanding synthetic biology, even in a rudimentary way, it's not a rudimentary thing even at its most rudimentary. It's a very complex thing that even at its simplest level is extraordinarily complex. But getting up to that point is just, it makes you very happy. I can't say it any other way. It's very satisfying. They're paying me a good wage to do a good job that I like, that makes it so that my financial situation, casting my financial situation, I should say, is not to worry about. I mean, Cassie shows me our bills and stuff, and we're good. We're paying things off. It's nice to be in a position of not financial terror or worry. I'm nicely earning enough to pay for our bills and our needs and a few treats along the way. And that's all that's really important. I don't need everything. We saw a lot of true crime programs yesterday, and there was one guy, there was a story about one guy, and he had like 15 cars, and five of them were Porsches or something. And I mean, I just don't even see what that accomplishes. I mean, like a Porsche every day of the week or every color mood you're in. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you have that much money and you can buy things on a whim, but it turned out this guy was a real shady motherfucker who was causing a lot of harm to people. And in the end, he was murdered. He was murdered in his big fancy house, and his family had left him. And he was found per chance alone, dead, bound up, in the basement of his big fancy house with probably 20 cars parked, you know, in the garage or whatever. What does that all add up to? He was disgraced and unloved. And the problem with money and possessions is that, the problem with money is that it can go from being something that is a necessity to something that can be valuable in helping to live a better life to just something that, it's so taken for granted that it doesn't even bring happiness anymore, the thing you buy. So, my point is that as I get to know the people I work with better, especially having seen them in person today, sat in meetings with them, I think they're really good people, and I think working with them is, it's that saying, old saying, well, you are the company you keep. I mean, I think that's a little bit shorthand, but certainly the company you keep has a important influence on your thoughts, your actions, decisions you make. So if you're around good people, then probably you're going to be influenced to try to live a better life, a more generous, interesting, curious, productive, creative life. All those things. part and parcel with going into the workplace this week and being in lots of meetings and training and stuff is that I was not able to get the radio weekend finished. I had lots of shows heard. I think if I had my usual hours to get things all ready, it would have gone on without a hitch. But I was busy, way more than I usually am during the week. And so I didn't, and I had to make a last-minute decision on Friday night, returning from work, that it was going to be an encore radio weekend. I didn't want to do that, but there was no choice. And so that's what I did. And then I had to spend part of Saturday I was way behind. I wasn't even done with the previous weekend in terms of the paperwork and wrapping it up. And I had to spend some time wrapping it up. And then I had to spend some time getting the Encore weekend fully going so that it's not to worry. And I did that and that. I had to catch up my journal. So I did that. I started Seneca 119 for April. April 2022. The 27th anniversary issue. I started that towards the later part of the day. The way I start that is I get out my MacBook Pro, Eurydice, and I create a folder for the issue, and then a group of about 35 to 40 subfolders, which comprise the contents, the varieties of contents, the contributors, the front matter, the back matter, the whole thing, from front cover to back cover. Everything along the way is divided into folders, and then I figure out the contributors. Generally, the contributors are mostly the same from issue to issue, because most people contribute every issue, and have for a while. People do come and go, and have come and gone, and new people come. There's two new contributors this time, both of them photographers that I have become acquainted with via Instagram because of their wonderful photographies. One is a woman named Epi Horgan, I think her name is. She lives in Belfast, Ireland, and she's originally from Alaska, and she takes a lot of street photography, but she's really, really good. She's got a great eye. Her photographs are knockouts, and she's got lots of them. And another is Louis Stable, who lives in Ohio. Same thing, different style of photography, but really, really, really impressive. And neither one of them has much been featured in publications. I mean, they're little bits, but nothing on the order of the Seneca. And so they're each going to get a gallery, and they're each really nice and really cool people, who I am really grateful to have come into contact with and be publishing some of their work. I mean, I just feel real lucky. And then most of the rest are the usual crowd: Martina Newberry, Judy Haguy, Nathaniel Horowitz, Jimmy Heffernan, Colin James, Charlie Beyer, Sam Knott, Kenzie Oliver, Timothy Vildiotti, and a few others, as well, a bunch of them. And the Seneca publishes has a stable of writers that are featured every time, and then some variation. And I think the Seneca is different from other journals, at least is my impression, that other journals sort of put out a call for work, and then they gather what they get, figure out what they like, and put in the best of it, or whatever they choose. And so it probably varies from time to time, and the Seneca is much more stable than that. And I mean, I suppose variety is variety's nice. I mean, if you're getting that, I think that they spend a little too much time sort of in begging mode. I also think that, I mean, maybe the Seneca reflects my own tastes. I think I enjoy journals, and I have in the past, where I develop a liking for certain writers, and I look forward to seeing what their new work is. And so I kind of just translate that way of liking into the journal. But I'm not saying it's the only way to do it. I do think that having built up a large stable of writers, I can feel assured that the quality, a large stable of good writers, but the quality is going to be there. Also, and this is maybe a more of an intangible that I can't really say is absolutely for sure, but all these people who I consider friends, they know that their work's going to be in the Cenacle. They've held the issues in their hands. They know how good they are. They know they're distributed online around the world. If this, in small part, encourages them to keep pursuing their writing, to keep at it, the fact that their work is taken seriously by myself and by the others in the group, and it's really a group because I've compelled it to be a group. I built a forums off of the Electro Lounge, which is ScriptorPress.com's website, ScriptorPress's website, ScriptorPress.com, Electro Lounge forums. Forums are part of the Electro Lounge from the past couple years because I wanted the contributors to talk to each other. I wanted them to get to know, I didn't want it to be just them all talking to me, with me in the center and them all individual spokes and not so much relation with each other. So I built into the process various ways of getting them to talk to each other. It's not always perfect, but they now all know each other in ways they wouldn't otherwise. I built this into the Cenacle. I built it into these forums. I think writers tend to be of a very isolated, myopic, and somewhat self-obsessed nature. They're not like musicians who play in bands, play in groups, play off each other. Writers do something that is essentially a solitary task, pretty much. And so it tends to attract people in the solitary sense. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it's necessarily good. In fact, I really don't think it's good. The original Jellicle Guild back in the 90s was a group of writers, artists, musicians, and they supported each other, and they were friends, and they encouraged each other, and that is needed. That is needed. You have a group of peers, and the peers support you, encourage you, and that means that you're not worrying about readers and trying to please readers. They're less of the equation. You're not like, I don't know. I think it's good to have peers to support you who really get you and, you know, are in your corner and want you, think you're good and want to support you in getting better in ways that you want to get better, as best you understand. And then I think of my departing, getting back to work again, I found out like a lightning bolt that my colleague Matthew, I'll leave it at that, the names, he's leaving. He's taking another job, and he thinks of himself as a writer primarily. He never thought of himself as a technical writer. This work that he did alongside of me and others when they were still around, it was a gig, something done for a paycheck. It was never something he saw value in as much as the books he publishes. And that's his loss. That's his loss. So now he's going to go and be a quote-unquote creative at some kind of company and feel he'll do better at that, and probably he will. But he's a very myopic and self-obsessed person who, in conversation, any topic that comes up, he will describe something having to do with himself every time. Whatever the topic is, he relates to the world by himself. He is the intermediary. His biography, his personality, his taste is the intermediary between him and the world. He doesn't really seem to... He's not a group person. He's not a person who really digs into other people too deep, except by way of they talk about themselves, he talks about himself. That's just how he operates. Which, I mean, it's not Putin invading Ukraine by way of bad things in the world, but at the same time, it's limiting. It's limiting. You get less when you give less. But him leaving, as much as it was a shock, and I'm hoping that indeed I'm helping to hire another technical writer very soon, but at the same time, his work wasn't very good. I didn't enjoy working with him. I wish him well in his endeavors, and he was basically at base a nice fellow, but he wasn't competent to the work that needed to be done. He just wasn't good at it. He didn't like it. He didn't try to like it. He didn't try to learn it. It just, this workshop, this BioBuilder workshop in synthetic biology, I described it to him. He didn't come for his own personal reasons, which are perfectly fine. But he didn't come, and I described it, and he said, oh, I probably would like that because it might help my work as a writer. And that was something I thought too, but equally, if not more importantly, I thought it's going to help my work as a technical writer during the daytime on the clock, that I understand better the work my company is doing and the work that people at the company are doing, the things they talk about and think about. And then on my own time, I'll find other applications for it. But purely, like, just, he didn't value it. He didn't belong there. When he got hired full-time alongside me, I had to keep my mouth shut. It just felt like this man did not earn it. It was just circumstance that allowed him to keep coasting on through. And it's funny that he gets hired full-time, which never happens to technical writers, much less two of them. And a month later, he's giving his notice. And just, like, never really got it. Never really cared. Didn't really matter. Big. I woke up this morning, though, half asleep, half awake, along the stretch, though, thinking, what can't I do for this company? What limits should I set? I mean, I should just not set any limits. The limits are time, and the limits are what I can learn to do well enough to produce good work. That's it. And I certainly hope that they bring on another person, and I'm going to help hire that person, and that person is going to care. I mean, that's going to be more important than almost anything else. It's like, are you coming on board with this job with the idea that you're going to care? You're going to care. You're going to be part of things. You're going to learn what you don't know. You'll try to find out. You'll ask questions. You'll make mistakes, and you'll own up to them, and you'll move on because you'll learn there's an environment where that's okay. So, and just about everybody else there that I work with is like that. They care. They care a whole lot. My boss, who I got to talk with for a little while after the workshop on Friday, he talked in his office, and he just cares so much. Like, he's been at the company for years. He says it's the best one he's worked at, and he's been at many tech companies over the course of the years. And he just cares, and the people that he hires care. I think often, who does the hiring, especially if they're doing it over and over again, you're going to see their taste reflected in the kind of people they hire. And if there's consistency, then you get a consistent kind of person that joins. And this man hired driven, smart, but basically nice people. Basically nice people. People that you can laugh with, people that are funny, smart. You can just enjoy their company, and you enjoy being with them. I saw that when I was at ERG, my years there. My boss, my colleague and then my boss, Kai, he hired people like him. Smart, funny, driven, committed, team-oriented people. And thus a good team was built. And thus I saw what a good team was and was part of. And thus I saw the standard that we're shooting for. And when I saw it here, again, I was just okay. There it is. Cling on and hope you remain welcomed. So far, so good. So, I didn't get to any of the actual writing yesterday of Bags and News, which is my chief topic today. My work table here is just scattered with notebooks. I brought up a dictionary, since I realized I need one. I brought up an old Webster's New World Dictionary that wasn't necessary in the office. I already have two other dictionaries down there. This one was just kind of an extra, but now it's going to be the dictionary for this floor, which is good. I'm going to straighten out all of the notebooks, and I'm going to launch in with some preliminary work, and then I'm going to do the bags in writing. I have more ideas already to work with, but I thought I'd start here. And I don't know when next I will record on this player, maybe along my travels in for the next 3 days. I don't know. But last night we went a bit early enough to get up at 9:30, and it's 11 o'clock. So because Cassie very nicely agreed to do some of the chores she needed to be done on Sunday, I essentially have minus 11 hours minus dinner to do this work. So I'm going to give this my absolute all and hope that by, I guess 11 is 12 hours, so 12 hours minus dinner. So I hope that giving it all of these hours is going to result in a lot of good. So that's it for... That's it for now, and more later.
산요 X with Commander Q.
36 shoes with Commander Q.
산요 X with Commander Q.
And spirit and all revenue, all my guests, join again in the world. 36 X
with Commander Q. All my
value, all my value, all my
Schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Stop pretending that it hurts me every day. I know I'm not so perfect, just like you in every way. So put your fancy shoes on, turn around and walk away. I'm sexy, I don't look the way I feel. I'm angry, there's a smile on my face. I'm lazy when I know there's work to do. I'm lonely, I know that you are true.
sexy.
It's Saturday, April 9th, 2022, at 2:48 p.m. Bungalow C, Attic Study, Milk Rose, Massachusetts. The sound around me is hail as I bring up my notebooks. I'm just going to let this recorder record this hail thunderstorm that's going on.
hell is important.
Everybody, sit right down and listen to me. Listen, people, gather around, there's something to see. Sister, sister, no one's gonna hurt you tonight. Oh, my brother, give your love with all of your might. Don't you know? Things will be alright. I will be there with you all through the night. Little darling, don't you be afraid of the night. Don't you cry. It's okay to turn off the light. Little baby, nothing's gonna harm you tonight. Close your eyes, Daddy's home, now everything's right. Don't you know, things will be alright. I will be there with you all through the night. Oh yeah. World keeps changing and you ought to know. There's no explaining why it hurts you so. No one understands me like you do. And even today, you want me to stay. I don't know what to do. Everybody, get together, do what is right. Stand up tall, gather round and follow the light. If you fall, don't give up the fight. I will be there with you all through the night. Don't you know? Will be alright. I will be there with you all through the night.